How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen.
So, Tom, we're sort of doing a mini recap of the show last week. Not a recap as such.
No.
We had Alan Carr on the show last week.
We're still recovering from the excitement of it, yes.
Very exciting.
Wonderful.
And we sort of mentioned it a little bit on the show, but he is a bit of a gay icon, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think he sort of said it jokingly, but I really feel like, you know, as we described him as a beacon or a beer can. He really is. Like, I think anybody in the public eye who just is themselves is always going to be a role model.
Yeah, to someone.
Yeah, you know, the same is true, I think, of like David Bowie or Prince or...
There's a man in Portsmouth who like dresses as a pirate all the time.
I mean...
He's being true to who he wants to be, right?
He is an icon, a Portsmouth icon.
Yeah.
An Iarkon. Yeah.
Yeah, there'd be a man as well who walked down who wasn't part of Reptile Club, but always had an iguana with him.
Really? But why didn't he join the Reptile Club? He would have been a perfect
member. Maybe he was there when I wasn't. Maybe we didn't cross paths. Maybe he'd had a horrible... Maybe there was
politics, yeah.
Oh, there's always politics.
You know what
those
small groups are like? Maybe his iguana was very... didn't get on with the other reptiles.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can be tricky iguanas, you know? No, Tom, I've got no idea.
I don't know what the personality of an iguana would be.
Oh, very laid back, I'd imagine.
I don't think I'd like to be in a small room with one.
Do you not?
I don't think so.
Oh, I quite like them. See, but you're scared of snakes, aren't you?
Yeah, so I find like an iguana would be a bit
anything
too close.
That's like scaly.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh God, don't come near me when I've got eczema. I'm vile.
No. Oh, lovely. So
have I put you back on women yet?
What?
Have I put you back on women yet?
Nearly.
Good.
So who's your icon then?
I would say.
Gay
Ellen.
Icon. Sorry.
Ellen.
Ellen. Oh, very good.
Yeah,
why? Why though? Why?
So I started watching her I knew her from like her sitcom probably, which I think used to be played on like Channel 4 really late at night.
Oh, yes.
So I was sort of aware of her. And she came out like a good few years before I think I realised I was gay. But you know you've got that thing in the back of your mind that you're sort of different, don't you?
Of course. Not even in the back of my mind.
Right in the front.
Right in the front. I seldom
think
anything
else. In the frontal lobe.
In the frontal lobe. Thank you.
And then when she came out, I found it sort of quite exciting or exhilarating. Well, there was something about it that I found quite, even before I'd sort of like... realised myself that I was gay. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to drink a coffee from one of those coffee cups that have got a lid on. And I don't know what is the point of those lids. They just get drips everywhere. I've got drips all up my hand. I've got them on the arm of the chair. So annoying.
I know. You need a sippy cup.
That's what this is.
Well, you need like a beaker.
Like a beaker.
I just don't know. Why don't you just take the lid off and drink it like a normal human?
No, because then I'll squeeze it too tight and then it'll go all over me. And I've got my camel trousers on.
Your camel toe trousers with the humps?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the lovely chat about Ellen.
No.
I was just getting so annoyed that I had
Ellen.
A cup of coffee there that I was going to enjoy as I was listening to you talk about Ellen. And then the cup just went and destroyed it all. Just things like that.
I just think you should take the lid off. Tom, I'm not sure this is interesting listening. Do you think it is?
Yes.
People care.
So get on my trousers. So Ellen, you knew you were different, and she sort of
and she was different. And then I think that she, I don't know. I really liked her, and then she came out, and then I found that all quite exciting. And
yes,
I couldn't
how
quite
did you feel? What did you feel when that?
Well,
happened?
I wasn't. I must have been about 11 or 12, so I was sort of aware of something, maybe.
Yeah,
but not
sure. Latent, isn't it?
But I remember finding it quite thrilling.
Yes.
The idea of her being gay.
Yes. Same was true of me with Michael Barrymore.
Really?
Kind of.
Oh.
When I was like, oh, people can be gay. That's basically what it said.
Yeah. Oh, people can do this thing.
But
oh, okay.
Did you feel at that time, and I think Ellen, I mean, slightly different, but I feel like Ellen was treated so badly by the press. Mm. And when Michael Barrymore first came out, I mean, regardless of whatever happened or didn't happen after that, the thing is that like at the time, it wasn't treated as a positive thing by the press. And I think Ellen, in particular, it was awful, wasn't it?
Because it was like Ellen DeGenerate.
Ellen DeGenerate. Oprah had that other woman shouting at her.
Oh, yeah, but Oprah also had interviewed people from the Ku Klux Klan.
Had she?
Everyone's been on Oprah.
Oh, my God. Why haven't we been on there?
I don't know, but she's... Love Oprah.
O Network. Oh.
I know. O Network. And then she's got a magazine.
Harpo Productions. Would you like to be in O Magazine? What would be the thing you'd pitch to them?
To O Magazine?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Susie Ruffles here. And it would just be...
I think you would do a great feature in that. What would it be? Just your what?
I don't know. I tell you what, I've been cooking some really nice things lately.
Oprah loves cooking.
That's the thing. Loves food.
Depends which point she's at.
Yeah.
But what would you cook for her magazine?
Start making a quiche.
I love a quiche.
I love a quiche.
What sort of flavour did you make it?
Oh, I made a cheese and onion.
Oh, cheese and onion, lovely.
Then I did a bit of brown sauce, which makes it really, really flaky.
Delicious.
Yeah, a bit of brown sauce.
Oh, did you have it with any sort of salad or chips or what?
Well, yeah, but then I have to eat the salad first because I don't want my brown sauce to go on the salad.
Oh, interesting.
I'm an oddball.
Ever made like a salad dressing out of brown sauce?
Tom, I'm going to have to leave the podcast immediately. I've got something I simply have to do.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Do you know what HP stands for in HP sauce?
Yeah, it's...
Do you?
No, I was going to try and come up with something, but I wasn't very quick.
Yeah, Houses of Parliament. That's why there's a picture of Big Ben on it. Houses of Parliament sauce.
Oh.
HP. Good, huh?
Oh, I like it less now.
Well, you know, it's a fun
fact.
All
those Tories having it.
Well, I think everybody might have had it.
Oh, okay then.
I don't know who had the sauce, but you know. So Ellen.
So then I was sort of aware of her, and then I got into stand up, and then early stand up is just—it's
great, isn't it?
It's so good.
What was it? David Letterman invited her onto the sofa, which has never been done.
Yeah. I don't think it was David Letterman. It was.
Or was it before then? Was it Johnny Carson?
I think it was Johnny Carson. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she was the first woman to ever be invited to sort of chat. On the chat show as a female comic.
Oh, really?
Because it would always be the male comics would do a 5-minute routine or a 3-minute routine.
And if they were famous, they'd sit down.
And then they'd sit down. But her set went so well. She hadn't been told previously that she was going to be asked to chat.
And he was like, come over and join us on the sofa. Wow.
So and then I loved her stand-up. There's a CD on Spotify. I mean, I sound about 80. There's a CD on Spotify called Taste This.
Oh.
And it is... so great. It's like one of her, it's like her, I think her first like proper recorded thing. And it's so funny. So funny. So good. I just love her. And then obviously I sort of realized I was gay and had to decide whether I would be, well, not decide whether I would be out, but whether I would, because, you know, there are plenty of people that are in the public eye but don't talk about their relationships, or I could do comedy where I don't reference my sexuality.
I didn't when I first started doing stand up.
Well, yeah, you said you had a wife and kids, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, three children.
Yeah, three children, I said. I was 22. But yeah, that was the thing.
Bromley,
that's possible. But yeah, no, absolutely. And and she hadn't, presumably, in her first album talked about sexuality.
No, she wasn't out. Like, no, she was, I think that CD was out before, sort of, I think it would have been maybe like halfway through the sitcom, so she would have been like famous.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It was going out. And
remember, sitcoms now are big, but like when people didn't have streaming devices, and we only had four or five channels, and they didn't have huge networks, and we didn't have, you know, all the Netflix and all the American stuff, and the American stuff didn't have the British stuff. Like, it was huge to be in a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we all knew about Ellen, didn't we?
Oh my God, yeah.
I think Channel 4, I remember, did a thing. Graham Norton hosted it, where when she was cancelled by America, he had her over and had this like party for her that was on television.
Oh my God.
It was her, like him walking her around this party of people and saying hi to people.
And so then she came out and I thought she was just, I thought it was remarkable. I just thought that she was so, you know, people were so horrible to her, and she managed to, you know, keep her head held high and be so graceful.
Very graceful, and wasn't just, it? I mean, she must have been having a horrible time behind the scenes.
So hard. And then, like, to bounce back, I mean, so I just think that she's incredible. I just love her. Wow. I'd love to meet her, but then I don't know whether I'd become a massive prick.
Maybe.
You know, like, be like, oh, hi, I...
What, like... Like what happened with Mel C?
Like when I met a Spice Girl. Yeah, I don't know. Because I feel like with Ellen, I have such this like weird, like I have this connection to her being like, I'm gay too, I'm a stand-up too.
Do you think she would be nice about
it? I have
it,
a brother too.
She's got a brother.
She's got a brother. And also her mum, Betty, wrote a book about what it's like to have a gay daughter and how she felt.
Did you give it to
I gave it to my mum.
To your mum? Oh.
And it really helped my mum.
Really?
It was when my mum was going through a stage where, like, you know, she's never been... You know, she just took her a little while to get her head around it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm genuinely one of the first lesbians she's ever met.
Of course, any one of us.
Yeah. So, I'm the first. That's because I'm 107, but looking remarkable.
Remarkable. And it really helped.
My mum absolutely loved it.
That's great, isn't it? I mean, they are pretty good at that in America, aren't they? They're like, what's your thing? What's your story?
Yeah, okay, love so, it. Like, whereas here it's like, shh, no.
Yeah, they are.
Be like the rest.
Be like the rest. Yeah, they are a bit like that. Well, that's why she's a good icon, isn't she?
Yeah. Her show's great.
It's so funny.
It's so funny.
The bad paid for photographs is one of the funniest things.
Oh, God.
And
like,
so good.
Yeah, like the prom pictures baby pictures.
Oh,
and like
that's so funny. In a way that I've not really seen on a lot of American television. It's like quite like laughing at themselves, which they don't always do. Yeah, very inclusive.
Which I love.
Like,
my God, could you imagine like 25 years ago saying the biggest primetime show, or is it daytime show in America, that gets the most hits, is going to be hosted by a lesbian.
Yeah.
People
Huge,
have just been
it?
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Huge, yeah.
Do you remember how she opened the Oscars? Like, it was like the year after September the 11th.
Oh, I know. It was so
she
funny
just opened
when
it by saying,
said, this is exactly what Al-Qaeda would hate. So,
the Taliban would hate, I think, a lesbian in suit talking to a load of Jews.
Yeah.
Just so funny.
So funny.
I just love that. Like, to be brave enough to say that and not to be... Like, that's the thing in this country. We're so reserved about, like,
so reserved.
Oh God, don't do that.
Don't make a big fuss of yourself.
Don't draw attention
to yourself. Yeah.
Don't have an edge. Don't be spiky.
Don't be. I mean,
sometimes I just want to tell you what to fuck off. The listeners. Just life.
I don't think Ellen's ever told everybody to fuck off, by the way.
No, I don't think she has. Maybe behind the scenes.
Maybe behind the scenes, we'll never know. But she...
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think as well, it's like a lot of the time our gay icons have often been tragic figures. Mm. If you think of like Judy Garland, or you think of even the fictitious one, Sally Bowles, or you think of... Who else is a gay icon?
But that's sort of gay icons of women that were sort of fabulous fag hags.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess, yeah, they're not actually, like, actually gay, are they? Yeah. But I suppose up until that point, they weren't out gay people.
So why did Judy Garland become a gay icon?
I think because the film was so iconic.
Right.
Because she was such a tortured star, which kind of plays into this idea of the romance of Hollywood. It's like sort of a sort of Sunset Boulevard kind of thing, this kind of tragic figure.
I mean, I've said it before on the podcast, but...
Podcast. The podcast. That's the last episode.
The podcast. But
she
was just wonderful.
Glenn Close.
Oh, God.
Was wonderful. I haven't even seen it. But
she was
that's
amazing.
All you need to have
but
to
listen,
say it.
But listen, carry on.
You just go, Glenn Close, she was wonderful. Have you booked tickets to see Funny Girl? You must go and see Funny Girl.
I've heard Sheridan Smith.
Sheridan Smith is wonderful. That's
She's going to become a gay icon.
Yeah, she could become a gay icon, couldn't she?
A gay icon.
A gay icon, or a daikon, as I said yesterday to Susie, which is, of course, a Japanese radish.
I thought that was like an icon for dykes.
Well, it could be. In Japan, the lesbians love radishes.
Oh,
I don't know why. I don't know why. But I think someone like Judy Garland, I think it's the tragedy, it's that story, isn't it, that I guess makes people feel less alone. Like, I think in their tragedy, if their tragedy is validated by somebody. That's what I think. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And who are the other ones?
Cher.
Is
she an icon, or do the gays just love her?
Oh, that's interesting. What's the difference then, do you think, between an icon and then just an adoration?
Oh, I don't know. I loved her more after she went on Will and Grace. She was willing to have the piss taken out of her.
Yes, I loved her more.
I was
more.
Like, oh, yay.
I think you've either got to be a bit tragic or a bit, like, mad. Like, Cher's tweets are...
Absolutely bonkers.
Out of this world.
Yeah, she's mad, isn't she?
And I think that, like, I think that's part of the Cher appeal, maybe.
Chappelle.
And did she have some sort of... I think she's always been quite, like, fun. Bette Midler, she's not particularly tragic, but she's an icon, isn't she? I suppose she's got a bit of tragedy in that.
But her career started in Gay Saunas, didn't it?
Yeah, performing with Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
I don't know what they were doing there.
No.
I don't know why he was there.
No idea.
But he was playing the piano. And she would sing. And I think maybe that's sort of slight tragedy. And also doing like a tragic film like Beaches.
Oh, God,
the gays
yeah.
love all that, don't they?
Yeah, love it. Do you like the film Beaches?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God, Tom, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
Who dies? Does she die?
No, the other one.
And then
oh,
she
no,
just
I've ruined it.
Well, I knew somebody died.
It's ever so sad.
Yeah, it does sound sad. What, are they sisters? Best friends? What?
Best buds from school.
Best buds from school. Oh, and then one of them dies.
And then she has to look after her child. So, like, if I have a child and then I die, you might have to look after it.
Oh, that's fine. That's kind of my ideal, like, way of bringing up children. Like, a sort of in a filmically comedic way. Like, gay man having a fabulous single life suddenly has to look after a child after his friend dies. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And also everyone would be like, oh, God, Tom's done such a great job with those children.
Those children have done so well. How many children are there going to be?
Seven.
Those seven children.
Seven children, is there?
He put them all through private school.
And they're all going to be named like they were in The Sound of Music.
I was going to say what seven. Oh,
so
that's...
it'd be...
Liesel, Gretchen.
Gretel. Brigitte, Friedrich, oh. Hans.
What was the other one? Who was the Nazi that she falls in love with? What was
Wait,
his name?
Ralph. It's got nothing to do with Ralph.
Will there be a Ralph?
Ralph's not there. He might pop round, sure, but he's not one of my children.
Well, I'll have to get a conservatory if that's the case for them to sing around in.
Look, they might not sing. Who knows? They could.
They better if they're going to be my children.
Oh, God, Tom, you're looking less and less like the perfect stepfather.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it runs.
Oh, and then you'd become, and you'd get... You'd get like a nanny that was a man.
Yeah.
And he'd soften your cold heart.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice idea. After I've just been a submarine captain in the war.
Yes. Oh, Tom, I love this story.
Yeah, it's a great story,
Many
isn't
film
it?
Film writers out there, guys.
Guys, don't hold back.
I'd only be in the first scene. That'd be really annoying.
Yeah. And or maybe you'd have a flashback in a dream.
Or I could be dead and I could talk to you. Going,
oh,
Tom,
a ghost.
Look after the ghost.
In the reflection in the conservatory.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
That would be lovely and
but
terrifying.
But it would be all decomposing. So it would have like a horror twist.
Oh, a horror twist. That's nice. Yeah. A nice
cross-genre.
A melge of genres. Oh, I would love that film. Yes, yes. I think, I don't know if I would be good at bringing up your children, though. I mean, I would be, I feel like I would be quite attentive.
I'm not planning on dying.
No.
I also have a partner and we have no children.
And you have no children. So there's lots of factors against me. But that would be my ideal. Like, I couldn't, right, it would just be like, if I had to bring up a child, then I wouldn't have to be, like, thinking about it and planning it.
Well, you just want one to fall into your lap?
Basically, yeah. I don't want any of the fuss to go with it. And just that they'd like...
Maybe just a dog. Maybe
and they'd ask
dog.
Me questions about, like, what was my mummy like? And I'd say, your mummy was a wonderful woman.
Oh, thanks,
and then
Tom.
I'd look away, but I'd hide the tears because I'd have to be strong.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be really good.
In the conservatory.
Yeah.
So many scenes in that conservatory. We're going to get our money's worth.
But it's really worth the extension, isn't it?
Yeah. Really worth getting the extension for. Maybe a swimming pool as well.
No, because then the youngest one would drown or something.
Oh,
more
yes, that's true.
Life.
More tragedy. No, so much tragedy.
People say, oh, well, at least she's with her mother now.
She's with mummy now.
Tom.
Yes?
We're really good at staying on topic today.
We've been quite on topic today, I would say.
Bang on top.
Bang on topic. I mean, last week we had a topic and we had the topic here to remind us of that topic. So we couldn't go off so much then.
But that's true.
This week, I think we've been quite disciplined.
Tom, did you have a gay icon growing up?
Yes, David Duchovny from The X-Files.
Oh my God, tell me more.
I was obsessed with The X-Files, everybody. And I used to
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Stickers I used to have on the inside of my wardrobe door. We weren't allowed to have stickers or posters in our rooms, but I had them on the inside of my wardrobe door.
I had no idea that your parents were that strict.
Really strict. Mum was very protective of the wallpaper.
Yeah, I can imagine that with your mum.
Very protective. And no board games either.
What?
We never played board games.
I've never played Scrabble in my life. I'm terrified
no,
of it.
No, me neither.
Oh, I'm
oh
so
my God.
Dyslexic.
People, of course.
Could you imagine trying to spell things out? Oh.
I'll play it with you, but that does sound a little bit time consuming.
Yeah, but it'd be like cat, dog.
We could have a yellow board.
Yeah, we could have a yellow board. I mean, can I just have someone to help me? I just don't really want to play Scrabble.
Maybe that's part of it. I mean, I think...
I'm really good at Play-Doh. I have other skills.
Plasticine, great, lovely. Play-Doh, the one with the hair. Did you have that one?
Oh, yeah, I had that one. That was great.
Oh, that was the best.
And I'm quite good at Lego.
Are you?
Yeah. No, that was something I was quite good at as a child.
I was in the Lego department of John Lewis at the weekend. And
clang.
Clang. It's right at the top of the escalator. And there was a Darth Vader made of Lego. And the thing is, I find with all those Lego, those like massive Legos... Mm. They're all glued together, so it's nonsense. And then there was one thing you could buy of the Sydney Opera House. It didn't look anything like the Sydney Opera House, which I've been to.
Oh, my God.
I just thought, this is bullshit, especially because the Sydney Opera House, if you get up close to it, is made of little tiles. They could have made... Sorry, I just burped a bit.
Oh, my My God, you're not even drinking that coffee.
Not even drinking the coffee, just talking too fast. They could have made the tiles like the Sydney Opera House tiles to make the Opera House, but it was just this, like, it was shit. It was actually shit.
Okay. What so the X-Files.
The X-Files. Gillian Anderson.
Loved her.
Wasn't she great in War and Peace? Did you see her in that?
No.
Oh, great scene in the last episode where she sends somebody away from a party. I won't spoil it, but she is on point. It's brilliant.
She's also super hot.
She's super hot.
She's super hot. She's got better with age.
Yes, good super hot. Thing to say. I mean, I suppose we're looking back on her in the X-Files probably thinking, like, that must be 4,000 years ago. It's probably, like, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
It's not that
very
long
boxy
ago.
Jackets.
Lovely boxy jackets in, like, burgundy and, yeah. Like, grape.
I would find it quite scary.
Yeah, I would be terrified, and I would sometimes stay up late. Deny everything. Oh, it was so good. I wonder why. I think I liked it because it was this sense of, like, another world that was different to my own. That's what I was obsessed with as a child. Just escapism. I just wanted to escape anywhere else.
Houdini.
Houdini. In a box. With chains. Underwater. That's all I wanted.
Weekend in Berlin.
Weekend in Berlin. Thank you. Paid a lot of money for that. And so, yeah. So I loved David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. I didn't think I fancied him, really. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I mean, he must have made
he
a lot of
he just looks like
them.
A man to me. Like, I can tell that, like, Brad Pitt's really hot.
Yes.
And, like, you know, I'd probably be like, yeah, go on then.
In The Big Short, doesn't look anything like him.
No. Do you know? Oh, my God. I shared this on Facebook, Tom. I'm not sure if you saw it.
Oh.
Last week, Brad Pitt said some of the most beautiful women that he's ever met have been from Portsmouth, from when he shot a film down here.
Really, though?
Like, not down here, down there.
Down
yeah.
Really?
Where I'm from. I mean, which is remarkable because some people down there have like three teeth.
That's what he likes.
He likes those birds with three teeth. But I was just like, oh, okay, Brad, I get it.
Okay, you've got a
type. I get it. I get it. You're trying to invite me into your relationship with Angelina. And yeah, okay, sure.
Sure.
I probably would.
Sure. Melging with Brangelina.
Melging. Oh my God, what would they call it? Magelinoozy.
Meljuzy.
Meljuzy. Subralina?
Subralina. Subralina.
That sounds like a cake.
Subralina, yeah. It sounds like
they sell it. Subralina. Oh, it's
lovely.
Oh,
you've got to get a Subralina. It's an Austrian thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, fun fact about the X-Files. Saw the X-Files film and then was taken for my first curry.
That's not a fact about the X-Files. That's a fact about you.
But interesting, though. It was
really,
wonderful.
Really interesting.
The Holmesdale Tandoori in Bromley.
Who were you with?
With my mum and dad. I was only like 10.
And what did you have for your first curry?
I think I had a gelfrezi, actually.
Oh, my God, that's so brave.
Yeah, so brave, right? So brave.
You're
loved it.
So brave, Tom.
So brave. It was really great. And I remember thinking, how do they make these? Where do they get all these flavours from?
India.
How do they get them all into? Yeah, they get them from India. How do they get them all into a curry? It must be so complicated.
And it is.
And still, to this day, I've never really made a curry. Because I find them too overwhelming.
They're so nice, though.
So nice.
We had a lovely curry with your parents in Edinburgh.
Oh, and yeah, which mom. You recommended that yeah. place. What was that
Mother
place
India.
Downstairs? Mother India.
Appropriate. Who are we sat next to?
Our mothers.
No.
Oh, and Jeremy Paxman.
Jeremy Paxman.
Yeah, very tall.
Yeah, very tall. Mum did that thing that she does when she talks out. Mum talks out the side of her mouth. She doesn't realise. She thinks
celebs
that,
love that.
She thinks that that's a whisper.
What did she?
So like she just does it out the side of her mouth. So like for example, when it was my birthday, we went down to Portsmouth.
Yes.
My mum had organised a cake at my nan's house for me.
Oh,
bless her heart.
Lovely thing to
but
do.
So my auntie said, should we get a slice of cake here?
Yeah.
And my mum tried to whisper, but I was sat next to her and said it at the same level that she would speak, but just outside of her mouth. And we've got a cake back at nan's. Can't whisper.
That's lovely though.
Can't whisper, but maybe it could be one of the most attractive women in the world if Brad Pitt saw her.
If Brad Pitt saw her. Your mother is very pretty.
She looks just like me.
She looks just like you. You do look quite a lot alike. There's that great picture you put on Facebook of you as a baby being held by your mum.
Yeah, mum's nudie at the top.
Oh, was she? Oh, yeah, she was. It was very, in that sort of lovely, what would we call the lighting? Like sort of
soft,
like burgundy lighting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very, very late 80s, yeah.
And your mum's like frizzy perm.
Which I'm now sporting, perm.
Is that a perm?
Yeah, I have it once every 6 months.
Oh, yes, because what is your advice? Isn't that your advice to people?
My advice to anyone. If anyone says, do you have any life advice, say a perm once every 6 months to bring out the natural kink.
Oh, lovely. It's
big
a natural
hair,
kink.
Care.
Big hair, don't care. So that's not actually a natural curl.
It's a natural kink.
A natural kink. See, I don't know this about hair.
No. Although, didn't you tell me the other day that... Yes. I was late to meet you the other day because I'd bought a new conditioner. I had to wait 3 minutes for it to come off. And then you said that you still condition your head.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think it's like when people have their legs chopped off and they get phantom itches. I still shampoo and condition my hair, what's left of it, because I just think otherwise it goes very spiky. That's the other thing. It's very spiky.
Do you ever put a towel on your head and pretend it's a ponytail?
Of course.
Of course.
And sometimes I put a towel turban on if I'm in hotels because I want to pretend like I'm a big,
like
big
Norma
deal.
Desmond.
Like I'm Norma Desmond. I don't know why I'm frightened. And yeah, and so that's what I do about hair. But gay icons, or we could have just called this one Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Plus I, The X-Files.
Yeah, we'll tweet it at her.
I feel like I have a lot of icons. I think I'd be a bit scared of meeting some of them. Like, I think if I met Elton John, which I nearly did, I didn't nearly meet him, but I think I'd be a bit scared because I'd be like, I'd
oh my
be
God.
Such a
wreck. I was quite scared the first time I met Alan.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, because, so I do his support, but the thing was, he had to sort of see me before he could say that I could do his support.
Oh.
So I was on stage at a gig, just a little gig in London, and I sort of looked to the side and he was stood there.
Oh.
And you know, like, that's terrifying because...
Yeah, of course. When you're being watched by someone for something.
And being watched by someone that you really admire
it's
and
terrifying,
think is wonderful.
Isn't it? It's terrifying.
Luckily, it went well.
It did. He loves
but
you.
Terrifying.
These things, well, are brought to teach us. I don't think that is actually an expression.
No, Tom's not allowed to say any more today.
I'm now having this cup of coffee, so I'll probably make a bit more sense after this.
Thank God for that. Well, thank God. Now well, we've
come to the end. Oh, no, what a shame. Well, haven't we had a lovely time?
Haven't we had a lovely time? Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to come to our tour, you know you can. The details are
you're very welcome.
SusieRuffle.co.uk.
Or TomIndeed.com.
And
Tom, we're getting so good at that. We could start presenting like a TV show,
oh,
you know, where they
God.
Do the
Children in Need.
This is down the bottom.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could point down and say,
the ITV telethon.
The website's.
Oh,
the
yes.
Right. We'll get in touch with the PO box.
Just write into the PO box. And, you know, and come and see us on our Like Minded Friends tour. And that'll be starting in September.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. I hope you have a lovely week.
Have a lovely week. And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Okay, bye. Bye, 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 bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.